East Coast Breakfast with Darren, Kerry and Sky.
And joining us this morning is Cape Town-based producer DJ Max Hurrell. So many questions that jump out there. What's the difference between a producer and a DJ? And is it Cape Town-based or Australian-based? But everyone knows the name right now because Max Hurrell is the guy who got a tweet from our Minister of Cooperative Governance and 127 delegate votes away from being the President of South Africa, Dr. I've forgotten the first name. It's out of my head.
Dlamini Zuma.
Dr. Nkosazana Dlamini. I know.
And that's also live.
That is also live. Please, can you play that?
One all.
Dr. Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma.
It's halftime now. We'll see what happens.
So Max is on the line with us. Everyone knows him now. In actual fact, he's number one on Apple Music with When People Zol. In actual fact, at this moment, more famous than Drake. Welcome, DJ Max Hurrell.
Greetings. Hello. Hi.
Maxi!
Minister of Sound, thank you very much.
Well, as you can hear, Max, we are really good at stroking egos. I don't know, you're bigger than Drake. Shout out to you, dog. Shout out to you.
Just in South Africa right now, it's definitely not overall. But yeah, I mean, it's a great, nice feeling. I think one of my most proud accomplishments to, you know, just to be, not necessarily to beat names like that, but to be up there with, those names in terms of streaming numbers. It's a very humbling feeling. It's nice. It makes me feel accomplished as a musician.
When People's All, we can say now, this is your biggest hit so far.
Within South Africa, I've had another song that I did for a label called NCS in England, and that got, I think, total probably about 4 million streams. Worldwide, that is my biggest song. But in terms of like media coverage and I guess general interest, this one is most definitely the biggest.
Max, I must say something. I must say something. I wasn't ready to like see that Zol song on Apple Music. I'll tell you why, because the first time I heard of Max was the Vibrators one, and kind of shared that on Facebook, and bro, my Facebook video went viral because I just shared your video, and then I was just going on Apple Music and I wrote Zol, and the song is there. I'm like, bro, how long did it take you to record the whole thing and like, put it up?
It took me, the initial idea of the song with the video, which was, I believe, 20-ish seconds, just like a quick 8 bars or 16 bars, can't recall. That took me about half an hour, and then the song, like, then the next day or the day after that, I saw the hype behind the song, and I thought, okay, cool, let me just, like, kill my ego. It's not the most complex song, but let me just release it because it'll entertain people and could be beneficial for the brand. I just also thought it would be like no one would expect me to actually put it on Apple Music.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a decent move from my side, especially in a time like this where everyone is using social media to grow their brands. And I feel like you need to do something different to stand out. So I thought I'd just, try to do something a bit different. Like, as you said, you didn't expect to see it there. So that's kind of the reaction I wanted from people.
Max, the music video, did the Kiffness just take that on as a music video, or were you involved in that music video? And where did you find those men dancing? I'm obsessed.
I saw that video or those clips from a while ago. It was a trending. It was a video that was used a long time ago. I think it was for Toto Africa, actually. No, not like the official music video for that song, obviously, but as like a meme-ish sort of thing, like funny dancing. So Dave saw the link between the two, messaged me, said, I have an idea for a funny video. Let's do something. So Dave, full credit for the Dave from the Kiffness, for people listening, full credit for the video. He made it for fun and said, what do you think? Should we put it out? And we both posted it, and it furthered the virality of the song, and just kept up the good spirits of people in this time, which was good, which is what we wanted.
Right.
Yeah.
Max,
and that was also the first time we did something together.
I can't believe it took you like only half an hour to come up with the beat. It takes longer to make a TikTok video.
Yeah, it actually does. It actually does. But and then, I honestly still cringe at myself when I do TikTok stuff. I don't do like the dances, but I'll happily make the songs that people can dance to. That's kind of what I mean.
Yeah, I've seen it. You don't.
That makes you love it.
No, I'm not gonna shake. I'm not gonna shake my bum on TikTok. It's not me. It's not my vibe. No. I'd rather just make music.
Yeah. Fast forward one more month in lockdown. There's Max.
Your best TikTok was when our president mentioned the name of the condoms, and then and then Max was like, "What just happened?" And you come in, and Max comes in two flavors, and you're like, "Whoop whoop!" That was your best TikTok, I think.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm feeling this sort of stuff. It's fun for me. It's entertaining, and I also get to make music. So, it builds brand, and I can make music. So it's two birds, one stone. Yeah. Yeah.
And Max, cool. Can I just ask you, we are so familiar now with the everyone's calling her the Karen or the Karen on Facebook. As there's a lot of people that are absolutely loving your song, I think everyone I know is loving your song. Have you had the Karens that have come to you be like, you can't make fun of this, this is just inappropriate? Have you had lots of that?
Yeah, not a lot, but there have definitely been a few. People have been, you can't do that. That's racist. You can't make fun of people that aren't white.
It's those people.
You have to make fun of a white person next, or people are going to think you're racist, hey? Like, get lost, man. Have fun. We're laughing at South Africans, not as white people or black people. Like, come on. Yeah.
When the minister reached out to you on Twitter and then you replied to her, then what happened?
Yeah, were you nervous?
So the first thing I did was I looked for a bunker to hide. just get off the grid for a while, you know? Like a VPN, make sure no one knows where I am. pretty much, she tweeted out, I didn't think it was real at first, because I was like, why would the minister, like, contact me, you know, from a song? But it was real, and I thought, okay, cool, let's play this right. Let's reply respectfully and diplomatically. So I was like, hello, Minister, please follow me back so I can DM you, because obviously you can't message someone unless they follow you back. So the minister followed me back, which I thought was just hilarious. That alone was funny for me. The fact that I have a Zuma following me on Twitter. And I just made
that is amazing.
But the other thing though, Max, is like no one is saying this, right? So there is levels when it comes to sliding into people's DMs. Like, I'm quite decent in that, and I do that stuff. I won't lie. Bro, you slid into the DMs of a former president's ex-wife, and this president is hooked up with Guptas. And like, do you understand that you've kind of set the bar pretty high on how to slide into people's DMs? Like, really?
Yeah, I don't know how I can stop this.
Like, you can't. It's
but do I need to? Do I need to?
No, no, you don't. Like, you peaked in lockdown.
I just do stuff on a similar. Yeah, no, I think it's been great lockdown entertainment for people. It's been fun, and it's been great for brand growth as well. I think no one can, like, the fact that a Zuma messaged me and followed me and tweeted about me, I can take that to my grave. Like, that's funny as hell.
Max, I have a question for you. I know that now you know Darren, Kerry, and Sky so well. It's like we grew up together. You've got two hands, and we are hanging off Table Mountain, and you can only save two of us. Who do you let go?
I'm definitely going to save Sky, because I feel bad about calling him a girl.
For the boys. Yeah, let's go.
For the boys. I need some DM sliding lessons. I'm gonna let you two fight it out. And I'll record the audio and I'll make a song. No, but I'll make a song out of it, so it'll be fine.
You know what? Let me help you, Max. Okay, right? Okay,
yeah. What would Darren, you do, Sky? I need your help, because I've saved you now. Now you're with me.
Okay. Okay. So we safe there, Bryn. You have to make a decision. Darren Moore is not old, but he's getting old. So he's done. He's ticked the whole thing. He's got a kid tick and all the kind of stuff. You know, he's seen life.
Okay. He's done the thing.
He's done all the things. Kerry Miller has fake boobs. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
And they're only a year old.
And they're only a year old.
Only a year old. Okay.
Yeah. So
I mean, their whole life ahead of them.
So I mean, I hope that helps with your answer.
You have twins, basically.
You know what exactly. I'm saying, man? One day they need us all.
that is fair. That is, I'm gonna have to make an executive decision here and save the twins. I'm so sorry.
Sorry, Darren.
It's for the people. I'm sorry, Darren.
Yeah, for the boys. You gotta do it, man. It's for the boys. I get it. I understand.
For the boys.
But I believe I can fly, so I'll be okay.
There we go.
Remix. So, Max, you've been talking about a great branding exercise. You've got this hit now, and the video is doing really, really well, and you know, so your brand's out there. But how does this all translate to monetization eventually?
Okay, so I partnered with Universal on the song. Another funny. The fact the Zol song is Universal. So that was a funny fact there. How does it translate into monetization? I guess the main thing is brand building. The main thing is that it's built my brand and built the brand value. Therefore, when I play live shows, I can charge more because more people will essentially buy tickets to come and see me perform. Therefore, I'm worth more and I can charge more. Live shows is the main form of income for any musician because it's like a lump sum you get and you can play multiple at night or I mean multiple like in a day, you know? Yeah, that's definitely the main form of income. Obviously, there's also streaming, but that is minuscule. I mean, you get like, you know, 0.01 cents for a stream, for example. And that's not exact numbers, but it's at that scale. Yeah. So it really, like, you need to be getting millions and millions to be able to, like, fund yourself. So I think brand deals would also be another angle, but I don't want to go into brand deals. I don't want to sell out. Do you know what I mean? I don't know. That's just a personal thing.
Max Harrell, not Max Nike.
Yes. Max Nike. So, okay. It'll be cool to have.
So
Nike
let me ask you about that, right? So we're in this new world where it's not conceivable that any DJ, comedian, performer, sportsman is going to be doing a live gig in quite some time.
Yeah, I don't think for the rest of the year. I honestly think like next year, maybe like middle next year, we'll have it back. So I think everyone's just gonna have to suck it up and adapt with the current times. I feel like I saw an article that Mark Zuckerberg is working on how to do monetization for live streams. So like if a DJ or a festival wants to do like an online event. I'm sure you've seen some of those where they do like online festivals. You can then obviously pay to enter the festival online and support the cause, support the artists, etc. And then the artists can get paid through that. Or artists can just do their own live streams and then, charge, I don't know, whatever, like 10 rand entrance or, whatever the number is. That's irrelevant. But I think that could be an interesting way forward. It's going to be tough for everyone. I think it already is. Everyone's
feeling
it.
That's why it's so important to
either cry or adapt.
To strengthen your brand right now, because then on the lineup they can have David Guetta, Black Coffee, and Max Harrell. So it makes sense.
Yeah. No, exactly.
I got a question for you here, Max. Obviously, you told us that you did a collab or a song with The Oak from the UK. In South Africa, obviously, you've worked with the likes of Minister Jackson Mthembu. You've recently worked with Dr. Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma. Who else would you want to work with in South Africa? I mean, while we have you here, I mean, you can tell us.
Good questions,
Gazal.
I reached out to... I am currently working on a track with the Kiffness. But we're gonna actually like I don't want my brand to be associated like just with like I'm trying to be the Kiffness. I don't want that at all because I'm not. Mm. He's a very talented musician and he loves using his humor in his music, but I think we have different degrees and different angles at which we do that. So when I'm the main person on the song and maybe the Kiffness is the feature or the person that's adding onto it, I want to make sure that the song isn't a complete meme. Do you know what I mean? Because the guy is so talented. With his he has a trumpet that he plays, and he's so good at it. But I mean, often people just see him for the jokey side.
The jokes, so, yeah.
Have you heard that the Demi guy?
Yeah.
I'm doing something with Dave on that.
Sweet.
And that's going to be quite the banger. But we're making sure that it's going to be musically sound, so that it's got that entertaining aspect for people in this time, you know, carry on building brand. But I want to start bridging from the meme side of things into the musical side of things. So I want the focus to be on the music rather. So I feel like Zol was complete meme for me. It does have a nice beat, but for me personally, it doesn't feel like I flexed my musicality skills or my musicality. So this next one I want to use to also make people laugh, also entertain people, but I want to make it more of a focus on, wow, this is actually a good song.
Okay.
Accompanied by the funniness and entertainment of it. And then I want to release an EP after that to, then it would just be pure musicality. And I always keep this funny side of me because it's just who I am. My brand name is my real name, and I'm not going to, you know, fake. There's no facade. There's no alias. It's just me. I consider myself a decently funny person in real life, and I try and translate that into my music and my videos and, you know, combine the two. I'm busy. You mentioned like using this for brand and reshaping brand. That's literally what I'm doing right now. So I usually make a bunch of, my heart has always been with, like future bass and dubstep and more like, technical production and like hard hitting energetic music, and that's just where my heart's always been. But it's been a bit of an ego thing. Like I'm essentially in the South African music industry trying to, you know, sell dubstep to people that don't want dubstep. So it's like I'm trying to compete in the online clothing industry, but I'm selling fish, and it doesn't sell. People don't want to buy fish if they're looking for clothes. So I just needed to, it's been tough. But recently, I think this whole Zol thing has put it into perspective of, like, if I actually, like, what do I actually want to do? What do I actually want? And what I want is, I'd much rather. Yeah, no, you can't do that. That's what you shouldn't do. Change my mind. I'm saving Darren.
Same Darren. I've lived a good life.
Max, wait.
Thank you,
Max. You said something there. You said something. You said you are a funny person in person. We got a comedian here and a very funny person. Give us your best or your worst bad dad joke. How about that?
Oh,
give
my
us your
goodness.
Give us.
I'll
give you a warm up.
I only have extremely dark jokes that are coming to mind, which will not fit for the. I'm gonna flip it because you're telling me that there's some funny people on this call. I want to hear some jokes from you guys.
Oh yeah, oh Darren Moore, take it.
No, Max. Like my favorite bad dad joke right now is what did the you're gonna like this? You're a muso. What did the drummer call his twin daughters? And a one, and a two, and a one.
Oh my! Okay, I'm hanging up now, guys. This was fun. This was
great. I understand. Go back to your lovely life in Cape Town lockdown. Goodbye.
Yeah. All right, can I try and redeem myself?
Yeah, of course. Go for it.
All right. How many? Okay, and then you can answer the question: what's the difference between a producer and a DJ? Because when you get booked at gigs, you're a DJ, surely. But anyway, you can answer that question for me. Under 30 seconds or more. So, how many DJs does it take to change a light bulb?
How many buttons are on the light bulb?
Nice. It's a good question. No. It takes one, two, one, two.
One, two.
Actually, the DJ never changes his own light bulb. He always tells the people, you put your hands up in the air. Change the light bulb.
Oh, my goodness.
And we apologize.
That joke thing is making me cringe.
Oh my God. Yeah. All right. So we try to push you out of your lane. Thank you for not jumping out of your lane. What's the DJ producer thing? I was like, what is that?
The difference.
Yeah.
Okay, so a producer is someone who, okay, obviously it's in the word producers, you make the music from scratch. So a producer essentially makes the music in a studio or a computer, whatever you want to call it, and then a DJ plays the songs that the producers make on CDJ. So the producers obviously make these complex songs in software. Then those songs get exported as like a song, an MP3 or WAV that you would hear on radio or anything, or on your phone, whatever. Those songs then get put on, nowadays, a USB. It used to be CDs, and then before that it used to be vinyl. But it usually gets put on USBs now. You plug it into the CDJs, which are essentially modern turntables, and you transition, you play a song, and you transition it with the mixer to the next CDJ, and then back and forth. And that's what a DJ does. So a DJ is a disc jockey, basically. So he's mixing and combining songs. So DJing itself in its rawest form has nothing to do with music production. As much as you can add some effects onto things when you're playing live, like some delay and echo and reverb, and you can have a bit of fun, but the production is essentially the making of the music. The DJing is essentially the playing of the music at a live venue.
Okay, but now when you market yourself, surely you'd want to market yourself as a DJ, because DJs get booked, right? David Guetta produces music, but he's booked as a DJ. Black Coffee produces music, but he's booked as a DJ. You, I suppose, in the industry, want to be known as a producer, but when people are booking you, DJ Max Harrell, you're okay with that?
So it's never like DJ Max Harrell. I try and keep that out of the equation.
Max Harrell.
Just Max Harrell. Yeah. But it's the same as, you don't really hear DJ Black Coffee. It's just Black Coffee when you see him live.
Fair enough.
I think it's also, it could just be an ego thing. Like, I'm very, very straightforward and honest. I'm not like giving fake answers here. It could be an ego thing that I want to be known as a producer first. Maybe because I value the craft of producing above DJing. I've been DJing for 10 years and producing for 5, and producing is way harder. I mean, obviously, because you're making the music from scratch. DJing is essentially just mixing the music, playing it live, going from one song to the next. And when you do that for a few years and you're obsessive over it, like I was at the beginning, it becomes easy. It becomes like muscle memory. It's just almost boring, and I needed something more, so I started producing, and that's hard. It's so discouraging at the beginning, because you want to sound like the song, but it's going to take you years to get there, and you have to just like persevere through that. So I think the fact that I persevered through that was a big growth for me as a person, and I link closely with my efforts to get better, and my resilience to not stop and get to a point where I can, you know, consider myself a decent music producer now. But that was a long road, and it took me a lot of hours, countless hours. Like, I really believe that 10,000 hour rule. I really do. You just have to put, but that's also why so few people succeed, I feel, is that people will even put in like a week of time, and they'll be so passionate about it. They'll be like, okay, the next day is going to be better. The next day is going to be better. And then they'll give up. But the thing is, you need to do it month on month on month on month on month, and not stop until it happens.
Yeah.
And that's so hard to do, because, you know, you doubt yourself. And so I think I identify a lot closer with music production.
Okay. Personally. But people listening to you right now want to know, there was pre and post Max Harrell. Which one in your mind is better, before or after When You Zol?
After.
Yes.
One, because When You Zol, you're more relaxed, and I think post. I've had a lot of reflection in the last couple of weeks. It's not about the numbers and the following growing. It's more, it's put into perspective that if I just, you know, bite my ego, just put it to the side and put out this piece of music that people are enjoying. And I mean, look what it did for my brand. I almost didn't release it. I almost just left it as video. And I managed to, you know, quell or, put away my ego for that moment and, win that battle and just put it out instead of, cause basically the reason I almost didn't put it out was because it's not the most technical thing I've made. And I didn't want this to be the thing that shaped me. But at the end of the day, my goal is I'd much rather be making a living from making music than making, you know, like dubstep and whatnot, but being dirt poor and not being able to make money. You know, everyone has bills, and I can still make the music I want to make, of course, but as long as I'm also, as I used that analogy earlier, of like I can't sell, you know, fish to someone looking to buy clothes. I need to treat it more as a business, and I feel like I've held myself back a lot with my ego being in the way here, not releasing certain songs. Like I've done, I did all of those, like all five of those Parliament remixes in the same week, but I only put out the one. Luckily, it was the one that worked, but like if I just put my ego aside a year ago, I would be a lot further along than I am. So I think, to answer your question, post Max Harrell is better because of the personal growth I've had through this experience.
Well, Max, I can't wait for the next one. And you did say you're going to give us a heads up, so we'll be first to it.
Thank you for the
thanks for saving me, bro. Short.
No worries, brother. I got you. Sorry about calling
you. Actually, randomly, your song, your beat is one of our beds now. You know, when we have a music bed when we talk on our show?
Oh, yeah? Yes?
Yeah, so you're always with us.
Oh, awesome. Fantastic. We'll just remember who I saved and who I didn't, and then have a
beer. Oh, yeah, we remember.
Of course.
And then just in closing, I obviously have to just flex my nerve muscle a little bit. There is a musician from ages ago called Gustav Holst, and literally every composer in the modern age, from Jerry Goldsmith to Ennio Morricone to Zack Snyder, have borrowed from his music, from The Planets, which was also a composition he never wanted to put his name to. Amazing other work out there that was way too technical, no one got it, but The Planets by Gustav Holst is probably the most recognizable music on earth. So you got to do these other things that please the masses, and then that brings the people like bees to honey, and then they can sample your more technical and more professional.
Of course. I agree 100%. You got to meet in the middle. It's a business at the end of the day.
Exactly. You're a legend, Drew. Thank you so much for bringing us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
People's all.
Thank you.
I can't wait for the next one, man.
Awesome. I'll let you guys know as soon as it's out.
Respect. I'll slide into DM.
Thanks very much.
Bye, boys.
Cheers, Max.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. East Coast Breakfast, Darren, Kerry, and Sky.